as you were speaking, I saw that is what the Lord wants, that we be yieldable, make ourselves available. He's doing the work in all of our lives. Yes. And on this path of life as a believer, people eventually see more of his likeness in each of us. It's just a supernatural, natural progression for the life of a believer. The more you kind of become like the people you hang out with. And the more you hang out with Jesus, you just can't help it. He just kind of rubs off on you, don't he? Yes. It's like standing next to that person that works on an oil rig. And Huggy Brake comes out. Yes. Oh, that's good. I have something that we didn't finish yet. And it's about hearing and hearing the Lord when he speaks. It's really important because we take advice from people generally, or once in a while to somebody who knows everything already. I know that. That's a downer. Just as you were fixing to tell them something good. But I want to read to you a continuation of Jesus speaking to the seven angels of the seven churches. I kept track, and we only did two of them. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12. And you come away from these things, it's like Jesus knows all things. Good and bad and anywhere in between. So as I'm reading these particular letters that he wrote or spoke, and John wrote them down, not this John. He would if he could. But he wasn't there then, but he's here now, and he could read what they wrote then. Amen?
Different prison.
Yeah, different prison. I knew it would connect. Oh my, we're all in prison till we get saved. Hallelujah. The church at Pergamos, Revelation 2, 13 through 17. And Jesse, do you have red letters in your Bible?
I do.
Do you have the scriptures? I mean, okay, can you share it with her so she can see them, please? Because it's important. I know they'd be on the screen as well, but a lot of the Bible translations have Jesus' words in red. So it's very clear if you're just new to reading from the scriptures themselves and not on the screen, things that he spoke, they're written in red. The church at Pergamos, Revelation 2, verse 13. These things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Sharper than a two-edged sword. I believe, Jesse, your grandpa was really very much about the sword and the spirit, the sword of the spirit and the two-edged sword that separates the bones and the marrow and the flesh and the meat. Yes, the fat, all that. But Jesus is the one spiritually through the Holy Spirit that separates those things in our lives. That which is spirit is spirit. Those things which are flesh are flesh. And the life of a believer, the word also is a sword. And as we learn, as we grow, to cut away, if you will, the things of the flesh and put the things of the spirit, they have a more prominent role in our lives. They become more important. And he said, that's who he is, I know your works and where you dwell. And I even know where Satan's seat is. And you hold fast my name and has not denied my faith. Now, if these words, you can grasp onto these and apply them to your life. This was written so that we also can benefit from these words. Jesus said, I know where you dwell. I know where you're at in the Lord. I know where you're at in me. I know your spiritual condition. Because he cares, because he loves. He cares enough to know you. He cares enough that you can trust him. With all, you know, everybody's got stuff going on. Otherwise, people like me would, there'd be no point in me being here. I'd be by the lake on the beach. You know, wouldn't you? Yes, cool. You can be honest here. These days, I'd rather be there. That's my flesh, though. So there's the flesh, but the spirit, every time, like the night before, I start a longing to be here with you all. There's a longing, a wooing, and a drawing, because we feed off of each other. It's kind of like we've come to the banquet, and we all break the bread of the word, and we're nourished by it. And so he knows. He knows where we are. He knows those things. And you hold fast my name. Hold fast. That's a phrase that's repeated in other places of the scripture. But if you were climbing a high rocky mountain and you were attached to somebody with climbing ropes, and one of you in the party slipped and started to fall over the edge, what would you do with your rope? Hold fast. Hang on tight, it's just beginning. Hold fast your profession of faith. Don't let it slip through your hands. You hold fast my name. He knows that you do, but it's a loving reminder for us today in our time of believing. And you've not denied my faith. Those are pretty good. Those are going to work for us, that the Lord tells us those things. You're holding fast to my name, and you've not denied your faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. We talked about martyrs. Jesus often refers to those who have gone before us and have been martyred for their faith. And we talked about, when I read that, I ask myself that. Would I be faithful in these areas? I believe I would. But none of us really knows until the moment. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. That's interesting, because that was when God spoke through a donkey. And I always thought, if I still have a voice and I can speak, if God chose a donkey to speak, there's hope for me. There's hope for you. But that wasn't what he was talking about. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So there were some who were going back, and they were doing these things. They were putting stumbling blocks in other people's faith. Now that sounds kind of strange in our time. But I see it happening in the realm of the Holy Spirit. All you people are crazy. You speak in other tongues. All you people are crazy. You claim to know the voice of God. And they try to attack your faith. They try to put a stumbling block in your way. Now, spiritually, the enemy is using them as a stumbling block to cause you to stumble, to cause you to get discouraged, to cause you to question. you're getting fixed and ready to move to Tennessee. I'm sure you've had thoughts, am I making the right decision? At times it's gone through your mind, hasn't it? Well, Faith and I, the same thing. We've been here so many years, and it could be the biggest blunder of our lives at this stage of our life where we could really be hearing from the Lord. But there are people, used of the enemy, who he will send into your life to try to sow discord, to try to sow division, to try to sow a word in your spirit to cause you to question what you say you believe. I don't think there's anybody here like that. So chuck that one, you know. But don't be ignorant of the fact that there are people who do. And we're not always in this building. We can be anywhere. That's why this church is called That Church. There are people in this town who have spoken a lot of stuff about this church. Well, this church is you and me, because they cannot fathom the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we believe in, that the Bible teaches. And so rather than hold fast or even have a desire to know, they just badmouth you. But don't let that discourage you. Keep going. You know you're over the target when they're shooting back at you. That's good. That's good. All right, what else? But he was referring to the children of Israel, the Jewish people. And look at all the things that have been thrown against Israel, even today. If America didn't support Israel, we'd have gone down the tubes a long time ago. I'm convinced that God's grace not only covers this nation, but one of the biggest things America has going is there are people in positions of authority over this nation who still honor and bless Israel. Did not God say, I will curse those who curse Israel and I will bless those who bless Israel? We are blessed. If you can't think of any other reason, we're blessed because our nation blesses Israel. Now, there's a lot of people that have come here who are anti-Israel, and they're quite adamant and quite loud in the streets now, making themselves known, but they're trying to gain supporters. Don't be one of them. They're looking to become more influential as they gain in numbers. Pray for them. Pray that they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the only true God. So don't let others dupe you into being one who falls into this category. We are already in it, a sense, in that this was part of a week or two ago. I was talking about Israel and I didn't get to finish it. Other things happened and we got kind of caught up in those things. But Israel is called Little Satan and America is called the Great Satan. And I told you that's because the Islamic religion follows after Ishmael. They claim that he was the promised son when God made that promise to Abraham and Sarah. But they, because Ishmael was born, but Sarah wasn't his mother. Right. That's the difference. But they follow after Ishmael as the son of Abraham. And so there's always been that battle from the beginning over Israel and their land and whose land it is. If you'll notice Israel, get out a map today and you'll notice there are 17 Muslim states all around Israel. Israel is encompassed and surrounded by her enemies. Because of that, Ishmael means son of war. And we have enemies, spiritual enemies, that are sons of war. And the Bible talks a lot about warfare, spiritual warfare. And when you read these words, I don't know, a lot of things go through my mind that I'm aware of currently. Because the day's going to come, he's going to speak this to that particular church, where you can see it's already happening. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. We're allowed to hate. We're to hate what God hates. But we're not allowed to hate people. We can hate what they do, but with the Spirit, be able to discern what's making them act the way they do. I can't figure out people's heads. But I can ask the Lord for discernment of what spirit is it that's influencing that person and come against that, and so can you. And he says, repent. Every one of these. He said, I know your works, but he also said, repent in the areas. It's like getting called out for some issues that he has issues with. And as a church or individually, I have to read it because he said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, that's us. We're part of the body of Christ. If something connects with you in your spirit, the good news is, he says, repent. There's a place where you can turn around. I called it, if like you're going along the road and odd enough you're like me, I should ask faith the directions more often than I do. And I find ourselves going in a circle around Indianapolis when we could have just took the left turn. Last time we drove to Oklahoma. Man, I'd like somebody else to drive this time. But it's like that in our walk. When the Spirit says, you know, you took a wrong turn there. But you don't beat us up. Repent means to turn away. So go back to where you took the wrong turn. Take that turn, correct your walk, and you're back on track as a church or as an individual believer. And not only that, he says, I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saying he that receives it. A white stone. I've often wondered that. I don't see it as a gravestone, because once our spirit leaves our body, the body's buried, and there's a marker there. But this will be a marker to celebrate our life, not our death. Because it's a white stone. What else do you have?
Rick, I think the white stone refers back to the Ummin and the Ermin and the Thummim, or whatever those two words were in the Old Testament.
I'm sorry, I can't hear
it. It refers back to the high priest had a pouch he could reach in, and there were two stones. One was a black stone and one was a white stone. And if it was the white stone, it was God's favor. If it was the black stone, it was not God's favor.
Mm-hmm. So in here, we'll have a white stone.
We'll have the white stone.
Yes. Yeah, that's the good part. If we repent. If we individually, we could relate to what he said, whether it's good or bad. And change the course that we're on. So these are all future events. But he says, he that has an ear, let him hear. And that was what I had started on a few weeks back, because the word hearing came to me really strong in my spirit. Talk about hearing. How do we hear from the Lord? And because I don't know, a lot of the believers that I know, if it's a negative word, oh, that couldn't be God. God's always positive. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because he cares about the walk we're walking. And if we stray off course, he loves us so much that he gives a word to bring us back to where we should be. And I think that's good. So don't write off something is a bad word and that it couldn't be from the Lord, if it's a word to nudge you or me back on track. I can honestly tell you, I murmured yesterday. sucking water out of our cellar from the day before until 9 o'clock last night, and then coming down here and doing the same thing. And I had to repent last night before I went to sleep because I murmured and complained. And I almost could hear the Lord say, well, I can plant your butt in the middle of a desert and then we'll see how much you like water. Anyone want to go with me? And so it's all in how, that's why he said, have an ear, learn to discern. Learn what he's speaking to you, whether it sounds like a bad thing in your first, if you hear with these ears, it could sound that way. But if you hear by the Spirit, he wants to lovingly move us, to correct us, to keep us walking and going on track. So these are important. Glean something out of this today, because I still got four more to go. And we will get through them. I said, yes, I will talk about those words on hearing. And if I'm in the ones that need to repent, I can publicly confess I did repent. And this morning I had a good attitude. I brought the mat up and set it in the back so that if anybody came down the stairs, they would have a dry mat to walk on. I pulled a switcheroo. But the floor's drying and it's good and it's safe and you can go in and out that way. Anybody need prayer?